Have you ever had one of your accounts hacked? Social, financial, whatever? Yeah, me too. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Have you ever heard of ransomware? Well, pray you never do, but I've had to deal with that quagmire as well. Coming up, we talk with Paul Makapetris. He's chief scientist at ThreatStop, a cybersecurity startup. He also invented DNS. That's when you type in the name of a website instead of a lengthy string of unwieldy numbers. Yes, I thanked him for all of us. Paul, could you give me your name and title?
I'm Paul Makapetris. I'm the chief scientist at ThreatStop. I'm also a part-time visiting scholar at the University of Pierre Marie Curie in Paris, France.
Paul, let's get a little bit of a background because you've got quite the CV, and I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind like pulling out some two-inch headlines from your accomplishments.
Sure. I grew up in Boston, went to MIT, worked with Nicholas Negroponte on what's now the Media Lab. Went west to UC Irvine, did a PhD there and a bunch of consulting and other kinds of work on distributed computing. And that sort of ended my academic career. I went to a part of USC called Information Sciences Institute, or ISI, where I'm sort of known for inventing the domain name system and writing the first SMTP email server, which is what we use today to deliver email. You know, the DNS was started over 30 years ago. 1983 is when, June 23rd is the birthday. You know, it started out just replacing a small table that would keep track of what all the machines were connected to the internet. And today it's used for hundreds of different things. It's basically the configuration information of the internet. It's how when somebody wants to send you mail, they figure out how to find the email servers for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask for a web page, it's how the right server gets located. It's how Active Directory and a bunch of other proprietary things start up. So it's just the configuration database.
So when I type in ESPN.com instead of a string of numbers, you're the man I thank for that?
Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't want to remember all those numbers. I don't think anybody else does either. I'm with you on the startup. I'm 50-50. I have one fail, one that seems to be doing okay right now I consult with. But you're down the road with ThreatStop a little bit. Internet security, I assume. And, you know, in the pre-press, it said, hey, you know, Paul has some ideas about internet security that may not jive with what I've already heard. We cover this as thoroughly as we possibly can, we think. What's ThreatStop's approach to internet security so far?
Well, ThreatStop is your sort of first line of defense and last line of defense. And let me explain what that means. When you take a look at your network, at the edge of the network, you've got a bunch of routers, firewalls, you have email servers and other stuff that's other pieces of equipment that's supposed to throw away the bad stuff and let the good stuff through.
Mm-hmm.
What ThreatStop does is we take a look at over 100 different feeds, and I'll talk a little bit about what that means. But basically, we reprogram your firewalls and email servers and so forth with the latest information about who the bad guys are. The bad guys are always changing their names and trying to disguise their addresses and so forth. So, you know, what we do is we give you a real-time feed, and you don't have to have anybody do it. You just program on a website, you know, what your security policies would like to be. You might decide, well, I'm not really interested in taking customers from South America or China or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take your rules together with intelligence that's derived from dozens of different sources about who the bad guys are, and we tell your routers, don't let that traffic through. It's your first line of defense. It's not as subtle as taking apart an email message and trying to figure out if this PDF is dangerous.
Right.
But on the other hand, what it'll do is it'll throw away the first 10 to 25% of your incoming traffic that's just junk. It may just be spam. It may be malware. And that means that your email servers and all the other more complicated stuff in the next line of defense is able to look at that and not have to worry about being overwhelmed with trash. I say it's also the last line of defense because we also look at the traffic that's going out. So it may well be that your printer here is deciding to send documents to China.
Uh-huh.
And what we'll say is, gee, we don't really think it's part of policy to let the printer talk to China. And so we detect a lot of that stuff on the outside.
I see.
Because having rules about who the bad guys are and stopping that traffic is only half of the problem. The other half of the problem is taking a look at what's going on the inside and making sure that stuff doesn't leak out. And you figure out who's infected and who's not.
I assume this is obviously has enterprise capabilities. Is it residential at all yet?
People can use it in a residential sense. There's some carriers that are interested in doing that. You get into more public policy questions then. Enterprises are usually easier to characterize. their security posture or whatever.
It seems like with internet security, it seems a bit like whack-a-mole. And companies like yours are trying to stay a step ahead of the bad guys. And you said first line of defense, last line of defense. Is there something that is on the horizon for ThreatStop or for internet security, period? I mean, what's the time like when it comes to like the next big thing that will keep us safe?
You know, one of the things we're going to do in the future is to get better about detecting threats earlier and also integrating. I mean, the holy grail, if you take a look at the U.S. government and you take a look at a lot of industry verticals, what I mean is like the financials or the healthcare people, is they're trying to figure out how to share information. We're doing that in a sort of primitive way in the sense that we accept these outside threat feeds from various organizations that provide them. And then we give you a menu and you can select how to blend it, or you can just take our blend of what we think are the threats that you should be blocking. But being able to share information so that the good guys can effectively do that, I think is one of the frontier aspects of security. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm happy about all of the security that we have in place and I'm happy about the prospects. But, you know, I'm at least sure that we're doing good, if not solving 100% of the problem. There's lots of other complementary security. Like I say, you know, eventually you have to take a look at what's inside some of the payloads. And just as a person, every so often I get a message from someone I've never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I could just take a PDF or a Word document from them and feel safe. But the way it is, I can't.
Right.
So I think that one of the things to do is to be able to have some simple things so that I can say, okay, look, you can just send me a text document and we can discuss your ideas.
Right.
And not worry about it.
That's a wicked but applicable analogy, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen a spike, say, in a certain type of attack recently? Or is there a trend that seems to be happening that you guys are trying to face down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the big attacks out there these days is ransomware. The basic idea behind ransomware is your computer gets infected or your cell phone gets infected, and it is disabled. Oftentimes, it's just by having the files encrypted or something. And then the bad guy will ask you for bitcoins or buy a gift card, mm-hmm. and because gift cards now are all digital, and you can just send, if you will, money by sending the numbers on a gift card.
Right on.
And they will supposedly decrypt your files. So that's out there, and that's, I think, the headlines that most people think about. I think the really scary thing is that what happens when you couple that with the Internet of Things. I mean, supposing we were coming up in the elevator here, and all of a sudden the hacker said, "Hi, give me your credit card number and the elevator will move. Otherwise, do something like what you're talking about and then have somebody else or supposedly somebody else come along and supposedly offer you a program that will inoculate that from the future." And actually what you're doing is you're buying an inoculation from the bad guy who kind of terrorized you to start. So, you know, it's if I had to think of one thing that's going to be making headlines these days, it's in terms of malware, I think that's it.
All right. Well, Paul, thanks a lot for coming in.
Happy to do it.
That was Paul Makapetris, chief scientist at ThreatStop and an internationally respected professor of technology. This has been the first full edition of Techonomics. Thanks for listening. Check us out at KGORadio.com as well. We have extended versions of almost all of our interviews there, as well as some blog posts through the week from me. For Techonomics, I'm Jason Middleton. With